take our Bibles, remain standing if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Jonah. Remain standing. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 1. Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 1. I just have one announcement to make before we get into the message. This is for all of the bus captains. There will be a very important meeting this Saturday at 7:45. This will be in the morning. It'll meet on the first floor of the AOB, which is at the church office building. And please, if you're a bus captain, please be on time. Very important meeting that we are having at 7:45 on Saturday. All of the other lady workers, male workers, you will meet here as we always do at 8:30. Brother Keith Colling will be speaking to all of the bus workers here at 8:30. When the meeting is over, ladies, there will not be a division meeting, so ladies, you'll get on the ladies' buses, go to your bus route. Men, coordinate with each other with getting in cars, and you'll be meeting your bus captains on the bus route as they'll be in this other meeting at the church. And so please don't forget about that. Well, it's good to be here today. Thank you for being here. Good to see everybody. Not like you had a choice to be here, but... Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at a few verses here, and I'm going to ask that you follow along as I read Jonah chapter 1. Of course, Jonah's a familiar story, and I would imagine most of you who grew up in church have heard the story over and over again, and even as a child, but the Lord has impressed on my heart to bring a message about Jonah, and so I want to talk to you about this. Jonah chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be, that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And we'll stop right there. And if you would, leave your Bibles open. We'll look at a few things. And I just want to share my heart with you this morning, and with God's help, hopefully give you a message that'll be a benefit, that will profit you. You came here by faith, every one of you. You came to Bible college and you began a journey, and it was by faith. I remember sitting where you sat, and there were times when I doubted that decision, and I questioned whether or not this was where I was supposed to be. But I'll never forget a statement that was made when I was in school, and that was this: never undo in doubt what you did in faith. Never undo in doubt what you did in faith. And that was a very challenging quote, very challenging statement that many times I've had to remind myself, never undo in doubt what I did in faith. And I want to bring you the message this morning, and let's pray. Father, thank you for our chapel. Thank you for the time we set aside for preaching. And Lord, we do pray you'd meet with us. I pray you'd speak through me. Help me as I preach what you've laid on my heart, Lord. I do pray you'd control the service. Lord, I want so much for your will to be done. It's not my plan. It's not what I want. But God, it's really what you want. And I yield myself to you the best way I know how. And I pray you'd use the message to be a help to somebody in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. God gave Jonah commission to go and preach against Nineveh. And Jonah knew the Lord, and God was not a stranger to him. And God gave Jonah marching orders to go to this great city. Nineveh, as described in Jonah chapter 1, was a great city. It was great in number, probably the largest city in that time. It was great in wealth, very powerful city, and it was great in sin. The Bible says that the sin was so great that it came up to the Lord and kind of in your face kind of sin. And God is calling Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry aloud and spare not. Not to whisper in the corner of a street somewhere but to go out and to cry aloud and to preach against the sin of this great city. Of course, we know Jonah did the opposite. Instead of obeying God, Jonah decided to run, getting on a boat, trying to flee the presence of God. And after being swallowed by a great fish, then Jonah cried out to God and went to Nineveh, and eventually did what God had wanted him to do, and preached. Great revival came. The king got saved, and in turn, he set an example for many others to follow. And God saw them turn from their wicked ways, and we read that God repented of the evil that he had planned for them. And can I say this, that God has commissioned each of us to go and preach against the wickedness of this world. God has called you men who are here in Bible college training for ministry to go to a place and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has a plan and a very specific goal for your life. And if I can say this, it's not by accident that you're here at Hiles Anderson College. And God didn't look down from heaven and wonder why you are here in this place. No, you're here for a reason. There's a purpose to why you're here. And you came here, as I mentioned, by faith. It was a faith decision. You don't know what's next. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming next year. You don't know where you'll be 5 years from now or even 10 years from now. You may have a little bit of a vision. You may have a little bit of an idea of what God wants. But the truth is, you come here by faith, walking in darkness, asking God to lead you every step of the way. And that's what faith is. We can't see the end. We don't know what will come in our future. We don't know what our future holds, but we know this. We come here by faith, knowing that God has called us and that God has commissioned us for a great work. We must arise and go quickly. You know, the implication when God told Jonah to arise was the idea that he needed to go now. He really didn't have time to delay. There was no time to wait. There was an urgency about his commission. And if I could say this, there needs to be an urgency about God's call on your life. Because pastors, churches need pastors. And churches need staff. And schools need teachers. And the mission field needs missionaries. And not to say that you're going to shortcut the amount of time that it will take to get where you're going, but there needs to be an urgency about what you're doing today and what you're doing right now, because it's big. It's a big job, and we're talking about heaven, and we're talking about hell, and we're talking about eternity. And we need to grab the idea that what God has called me to do, there's an urgency about it. By the way, don't make it harder than it is. Don't make it harder than it is. Freshmen, don't make it harder than it is. Sophomores, don't make it harder than it really is. Juniors, don't make it harder than it really is. Seniors, about to graduate, about to finish, don't make it harder than it really is. You know, I'm going to give you some simple, very, very simple ways to get through Bible college. So simple, I'm a little embarrassed to even share them with you, but it goes along with the idea that some of you are making it a little bit harder than it really is. Let me give you a few basic principles. Wake up on time. Wake up on time. You know, so simple, but you know, when you don't wake up on time, it really messes up your whole day. And you're scrambling to figure out when you're going to read your Bible, when you're going to pray, when you're going to study, when you're going to, and you know, the classes you missed because you didn't wake up. Look, just a simple, basic principle of just getting up when you're supposed to get up in the morning. Don't make it harder than it is. Read your Bible and pray every day. Boy, so simple, but yet, how many of you have left your room without taking time to read the Bible? How many of you have missed time in prayer with the Lord? And I realize being in college and living in the dorms, whether you've got other people that you live with, a little more challenging perhaps to find a place to go, but there are places where you can go and pray. Go out and walk by the lake. Go out and walk behind the football field. Come into the chapel if you can in the morning or at night and pray. Go into a prayer room if it's available and find a place where you can go and pray and walk with the Lord. You say, well, I don't have time to spend hours and hours and hours walking with the Lord. Probably not, but do you have 20 minutes? Can you find 30 minutes? Can you find 10 minutes? You know, I believe this. It's really not how long you walk with God. It's really more about just walking with God every day. And by the way, your schedule in college is probably a little more confined. It's a little more strict, and you may not have an hour to walk with the Lord. But look, that time will come, and when you finish college and you're a little more flexible with your schedule and you have a little more time, you'll spend more time with the Lord. But listen, you won't then if you aren't now. And you won't spend hours with the Lord when you have time if you're not spending minutes with the Lord today. Look, don't make it harder than it really is. Just wake up on time. Get up when you're supposed to. Read your Bible. Pray. Go to class every day. Study. Do your work. Do your outside assignments. Look, don't make it harder than it is. Don't make it harder than it is. Work hard. Be a hard worker. You work at McDonald's. Work hard at McDonald's. You work at Estes, work hard at Estes. You know, whatever your job is, just be a hard worker. God will bless you. God will bless your hard work. You say, well, I don't like my job. Be a hard worker anyway. Be a hard worker anyway, because God will bless you as an individual who has the character to be a hard worker. Here's another simple principle. Be smart with your money. Be smart with your money. Well, how do I do that? Let me just give you a real simple. This is so simple. Tithe first. Say it with me. Tithe first. Say it. Tithe first. And by the way, you want God to bless your finances. Tithe first. First 10%. That's off your gross income, not your net income. But tithe first, always. That's your first bill. Your first priority with your money is to give 10% to the Lord. Look, you want God to bless you. You want God to bless your finances. Tithe first. Give 10% of your gross income to the Lord every single week. You say, well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to obey God. You say, well, I've got a school bill coming up. Tithe first. Tithe first. Next, give an offering. Give a little bit to Faith Promise. And by the way, your Faith Promise and your offering will grow as you grow. Probably in Bible college, you're not giving a whole lot, but that's okay. Because that'll grow in time. But tithe first, give some sort of an offering, and then next, number two, is pay your school bill. That's number two. That's the second bill you ought to pay after you pay your tithe and your offering. That kind of goes together. Next, pay your school bill. That's your second bill you ought to pay. Now look, you ought to do that before you go to McDonald's, unless you work there. You ought to pay that before you pay your phone bill. You say, well, what if I don't make all my payments on my phone bill? Well, at least you'll still be in school. You ought to pay your tithe and give an offering and pay your school bill, before you give money to your bus route. Now, I want you to give money to your bus route, but I want you to tithe and pay your school bill first. You ought to tithe and give and pay your school bill before you put money on a City Baptist school bill. Now, I want you to help out with City Baptist, but not at the expense of being disobedient to God and not at the expense of you being a student at Howells Anderson. You pay your tithe, your offering, and then pay your school bill, and then whatever you have left over, you want to go to McDonald's, you want to go to Subway, you want to spend money on a date, you want to have a phone, you want to have a car. Look, you don't have to have a car to go to Howells Anderson. You don't have to have a car to be a student at Howells Anderson. Now, it's nice to have a car, and it's convenient to have a car, but it is not a must to have a car. And I would rather go to be in college and not have a car than be home because I couldn't pay my school bill because I had to make a car payment. I'm thinking of a young man who lived in Chicago, lived on the north side of Chicago, and he was born in Thailand. Lived in Burma, came to Chicago, and just a few weeks, maybe a month after being there, someone knocked on his door and invited him to church. He got saved, began to grow in the Lord, went to City Baptist, and his culture was different. Even his speech, he's a little hard to understand sometimes because he didn't know English. He came here not knowing English, but he learned English. And he got saved. Then God called him to preach. He graduated from City Baptist and came to Howells Anderson. How many remember Tim Sangma? You know, I'm going to tell you something. If Tim Sangma can come to Howells Anderson and graduate in 4 years, barely understanding English, struggling with a lot of his classes, broke his leg on the soccer field, and couldn't work for several weeks and months, but yet graduated in 4 years, I think you can too. But the truth is, some of you are making it a little harder than it really is. And it's really pretty basic on how to get through Howells Anderson and to get out to the mission field or get out to that place of service that God has for you. But let me just say this, be aware that running from God's call will cost you. Running from God's call will cost you. Some of you, as you face difficulty in your life, are beginning to doubt if this is really God's will for your life. But can I remind you that running from God's call will cost you? Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. You see, it cost him something. And running from the will of God will cost you. There will be a price to pay. And by the way, you can choose to run, you can choose to quit, you can choose not to follow God's will for your life, but don't ever forget this, you cannot and will not choose the consequence. You can choose to run from God, but you cannot and will not choose the consequences of running away from God and not doing His will for your life. And it will cost you. You know, I've talked to too many former students who sat right here where you are and faced the same trials, the same difficulty, the same hardship. But instead of staying, instead of finishing, they ran from the will of God and they live a life of regret. And I can tell you horrible stories. Men and ladies that are now divorced. Children totally out of the will of God for their life. Because they ran from the will of God. And you can choose to run, but you can't choose the consequence. Not only does running from God's call, not only will it cost you, but it also cost others. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this?" And of course, we see here that it wasn't just Jonah who was in this storm and in this predicament, but it was also the others that were with him. Running from God's call will not only cost you, but it will cost others. You see, you never quit alone. You never quit alone. I'll never forget, it's been a few years, but I remember bringing a teenage girl to church, and she began to grow in the Lord, and she was about 8th grade, 13, 14 years old. She went to our school. She had 7 younger siblings. Because she came to church, they came to church. Because she went to City Baptist, they wanted to go to City Baptist. But then something happened between her 8th grade year and her 9th grade year. And I'll never forget telling this young lady, her name was Alma, and I said, "Alma, you know, if you quit, you're not going to quit alone. Because you've got younger brothers and sisters that are looking to you, and they're going to do what you do." And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. She quit, and all of her siblings quit. Never to come back to church again. It was many, many years later, probably a decade later, I was knocking on doors. I knocked on a basement apartment. A lady came to the door, and I did not recognize her. A life of sin, a life of drugs, a life of just living in the world. And I looked at her. She looked at me, and she said, "I know you." And I said, "Tell me your name." And she said, "My name is Alma." I said, "Tell me about your family." She said, "Well, I've got one brother that's in jail. I've got another sister who's not living at home. She ran away." And just a sad, sad story after story about her siblings who were in the same mess that she was in, because you never quit alone. Your future spouse and children will be affected by your decision to run from God. People that God was preparing for you may never be saved. You know, I think about this. What if Jonah did not repent? What if Jonah did not wake up and realize that God is trying to get my attention? What, you know, it's interesting to me. He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. Did he have to spend that long in the belly of the whale before he prayed out and called out to God? No, he was thinking about this. He was wondering, man, should I do this or not? What if he never did? Those people of Nineveh would have died and probably went to hell. You know, there's people that God is preparing for you. There's people that I'll never win, but you will. There's people that Pastor Wilkerson will never meet and never have an opportunity to win or to influence, but they're being prepared for you. And those people may never hear the gospel. They may never know the truth. They may never have a chance to be saved, because you never quit alone. You always take somebody with you. Running from God's call will cost you. Running from God's call will cost others. Running from God's call is always, always a step down. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And read this with me, the next three words, and went down. It's always a step down when you run from the will of God for your life. Oh, that job that you're working is offering you a promotion, and you think making lots of money will somehow satisfy, but let me tell you something, it cannot give you the peace of God. It cannot give you peace. And too many of our students, too many young people have come to youth conference and was called to preach. Too many have gone to camps and were called to ministry, and they came to Bible college and they got a job. And they began to make more money at that job than they ever made before. And they started to buy cars and buy clothes and be able to have all the latest technology. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as it doesn't take you out of the will of God for your life. Boy, never, never look at your job as a, you didn't come here to get rich. You didn't come here to stay at a secular job. You came here to be trained for the ministry, to go out somewhere and reach people for Christ. But running from God's call is always a step down. Next, you cannot run away from the presence of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Let's start reading in verse number 7. Psalm 139, verse number 7. Just follow along as I read. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Young people, I remind you this morning that you cannot run from the presence of God. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run. You can move back home. You can move to a different state. You can go somewhere else, but you'll never run from the presence of God. Next, let me say this. When you're ready to come back, God is only a prayer away. Look at Jonah chapter number 2. Jonah chapter 2. Verse 17, chapter 1, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. When you're ready to come back, God is only a prayer away. You may run from God and think that God is where you left him, but the truth is, God never left you. And all you have to do is just turn around and he's right there, because he's only a prayer away. Some speculate on reasons why Jonah fled, why he ran. Maybe he ran because of fear. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he ran because of apathy. Maybe he didn't care about those people. Maybe he didn't care if they got saved or not. Maybe he ran because of rebellion. Maybe he was just a rebellious person, a rebellious Christian who said, I don't care what God wants. I'm doing my own thing. But maybe he fled because he was not prepared, and it was a bit overwhelming. You know, every stage of our life prepares us for the next stage. You think about being in grade school and the things you learn in grade school, your ABCs and your alphabet and all those things. You know, passing first grade helps you in second grade. And passing second, third, and fourth, fifth, sixth grade helps you when you go to junior high. And you know, passing junior high, not that those steps are easy, Every step's a little bit harder, but you know, it prepares you for the next step. So if I can pass high school and go to college, not that it's easy, but I'm better prepared. But you know, college is to prepare you for what's next. Not that this is easy, but if you can get this, you'll be better prepared for this. Some of you this morning are a bit overwhelmed. You might be a freshman, you may be a sophomore, junior, or senior, but you may be a little bit overwhelmed with your schedule. School all day, work all night, trying to figure out how to find time to do your schoolwork, pay your bills, study, be in class every day, dating. Some of you are engaged. You're trying to figure out how to get that, make that happen so you can get married. Some of you are a bit overwhelmed because it's a lot on you. Graduation. Seniors are thinking about May and what's next. Some will finish in December, and it's, what do I do now? I remember as a child playing a game many of you played. It's called hide and go seek. How many of you ever played hide and go seek? Matter of fact, we're going to play right now, and I'm going to have you just run out to school, just hide all over the campus, and Brother Collins is going to come find you. No. But you know how the game is played. One person is it, and they have to close their eyes, and they have to count down to 10, to count to 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready or not? Here I come. Let's try that again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready or not?
Here I come.
You know, life's a little bit that way. Because ready or not, here it comes. Here it comes. It doesn't matter if you're ready. It's coming. Some of you, it's kind of a sudden shock to you because you didn't realize all that college involved. You didn't realize how massive this was going to be and how overwhelming it was going to be, because ready or not, it came. Let me just say a few things about that and just give you a few points. You know, ready or not, trials will come. Financial difficulties, trying to figure out how to pay all your bills, those issues, the pressure of finances, whether you're ready or not, it will come. Health problems will come. Problems with your job will come. Problems with relationships, just going through college and dating, and those issues that you deal with, ready or not, those issues will come. Problems at home will come. But let me ask you a question. Are you ready to face the trials of life with a resolve not to run? Because ready or not, trials come. The Bradleys, when they went to sleep on Sunday night, had no idea that Monday morning they would wake up to a tragedy. But ready or not, trials come. Ready or not, life comes. And you know, part of being here at college is learning how to deal with the trials of life. Part of being here is to prepare you for trials and testings that are far bigger than what you're facing today. And these, if I could call them little tests, are preparing you for bigger test. I remember sitting in a class with Mrs. Marlene Evans, and she would count out the students. She'd say, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And she'd say, one out of every three of you will have some kind of a cancer or some kind of a disease that will cripple your life. Because ready or not, here it comes. There needs to be a resolve that I'm not going to quit. There needs to be a resolve that while you're in college, as you face these little trials, these little tests, and I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through, because I understand to you it's huge, it's big. But listen, it's like taking a spelling test. I don't know how to spell these words, and it's this vocabulary test, but you made it through, and then you went to the next level. And then you went to the next step. And college is to prepare you for what's coming next, because ready or not, here it comes. Ready or not, the trials come. Ready or not, opportunities will come. Pastors come looking for staff. Schools come looking for teachers. Let me ask you a question. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Seniors, you ready? Pastors are coming. They're looking. They're calling Brother Stubblefield's office. They're calling different staff men. They're asking about you. Will you be ready when opportunity comes and knocks on your door? Let me tell you this. Don't run from opportunities now. Don't run from an opportunity to preach on the bus. Don't run from the opportunity to win a soul to Christ. Don't run from the opportunity to disciple a convert. Don't run from the opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. Don't run from the opportunity to be a bus driver or a bus captain. Don't run from the responsibilities and the opportunities that are given you here and now. Because ready or not, bigger opportunities will come. More responsibility will come. But will you be ready? Because ready or not, here it comes. I wonder how many pastors come to this campus interviewing our men and walk away empty-handed because we're not ready. I wonder how many principals come looking for teachers and they walk away empty-handed because we're not ready. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to serve. And look, men, stop thinking that somehow when you get a diploma from Hal Anderson, that's going to give you the wisdom and the leadership responsibility and the help you need to be what God has called you to be. You're in Bible college for that. That's why you ought to be faithful. That's why when we have a bus meeting, you ought to be there. And that's why you ought to go on your bus ride every Saturday. And that's why you ought to ride the night bus on Sunday night. And that's why you ought to be a hard worker and a faithful worker and a soul winner and be one that's working to bring people to church and to fill up a bus and to take advantage of the opportunities that are handed to you right now, because one of these days, opportunity is going to come. Will you be ready? And then lastly, I'll be done. Not only will trials come, not only will opportunities come, but the end of your life will come. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? If we were to call you up here one by one and ask you to stand behind this pulpit and share your story about when you got saved, do you have a story to tell? Can you tell us the time? And maybe you don't know exactly how old you were or exactly where you were, but you remember getting saved. And you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. You say, Brother John, this is Hiles Anderson College. I know. I know. And what a shame it would be to be a student at Hiles Anderson College and spend eternity burning in a lake of fire. And by the way, let me say this. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. You might be my best friend. You might be my girlfriend. You might be my boyfriend. I don't care who you are. I'm not going to hell for you. I'm not going to hell for you. We had school camp last week. Preacher preached on Monday night. He talked a little bit about hell, and a couple of our teenagers got saved. And after the service, the kids went out for an activity, and I went back to my room, and a few minutes later, there's a knock on my door. My son, who is 26 years old now and teaches in our school, came to my room, and he said, Dad, he said, I remember the story. He said, I remember how you told me, and we would remember when I was 4 years old and we were in Louisiana and you were preaching on tour, and you would tell the story about how I came forward and how you took the Bible and you showed me how to be saved. But with tears in his eyes, he said, "Dad, but I just don't remember." He said, "I was only 4 years old." He said, "I just don't remember." He said, "God's really been working in my heart these last couple of weeks." I said, "Well, son, let's take care of it." He sat on my bed, and I took the Bible, and I went through the Romans Road. I showed him how to be saved. We got to the very end. I said, "Well, son, you know what to pray." And so he prayed, and he trusted Christ as a Savior. Very humbly asked Christ to save him. Let me ask you a question. When did you get saved? And are you ready to meet God? Because ready or not, here it comes. You know, I find it very interesting to each of these that I mentioned, the trials that come, the opportunities that come, the end of our life that comes. There's one answer to everyone, and that's this. Don't run away from God. Run to God. And I'll never understand why Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale before he cried out to God. Why didn't he cry out to God the first day? Why didn't he cry out to God that first moment? Why did he wait? Because God was right there. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would say, "Brother John, I know I'm saved. I have no doubt about my salvation. I could share the story with you today. And I thank God for what God did for me when he saved me." Would you raise your hand all over the room? I know I'm saved.